Hello there and welcome to the latest edition of the Golf Shake podcast, a very special one coming to you this week. It's obviously our Masters preview special. We haven't spoke to you in a couple of weeks. We've got lots to talk to you about in the run-up to the first major of the year at Augusta National, but as usual, Mr. Matt Holbrook is joining me. Good evening, Matt. How are you?
Good evening. Yeah, fresh off the golf course, actually.
Nice. It will not surprise you to learn that I am not.
No. Nice little, we've got midweek medal tomorrow, and I finished with a birdie up the last tonight. A little bit of a
peak too early.
Bit of momentum. No, just momentum going into
peak
tomorrow.
Too early. A bit like Arsenal.
No. I tell you, I'm hitting the ball quite nicely at the moment, you know.
Good.
I just need to turn these fives and six overs into ones and two overs and get the season rocking.
Very good. We had a captain's drive in yesterday at Howley, which was good, very well supported. Busy, although we've just had more utterly shocking weather. Tomorrow's weather here looks absolutely horrific as well. So, yeah, everywhere I know of in the north of England is shut. So, yeah, wonderful. But to throw a ray of sunshine into the mix, we've got the Masters this week, Matt.
Yeah.
This is the weekend, well, one of the weeks that, despite the utter crap that Gary Player came out with the other day, the Masters is either one or two in majors for me. I mean, I think probably the Open Championship stands out a little bit above it, but as a tournament, in the fact that it's at the same place every year and just the kind of whole pageantry and majesty of the whole event, I think is just pretty cool, isn't it?
I love everything about this week. I love, like, yes, not just the event, because obviously it's a good event and everybody gets into it, but it's the start of the year, spring. They've even chucked an eclipse in today, which has been all the rage. It's just everything about it. Like, I wore my new green and white Puma shoes today and I've got the pink top on for the flower. Yeah, I'm literally...
Masters.
I just think because of the way the calendar's done as well now, and you get, like, the majors come quite thick and fast, don't they, at this time of year?
They do.
Then you have to wait so long for the next one. And unfortunately, we haven't had the weather that you've had. So our golf course is nice and dry. Been out today, they're cutting the fairways, there's stripes in the fairways, stripes on the greens. Medal season is back already. And I've already made my first eagle last week of the year.
Very good.
Literally buzzing. But I've got my first knockout match this week as well, believe it or not.
Good God.
I know.
We just need the season to start in like May, because April's just way too early. So,
yeah.
Rubbish. But yes. I mean, I've watched quite a bit of golf over the weekend. It's kind of got me in the spirit of the Masters. And obviously this week, it just kind of snowballs, doesn't it, towards Thursday with lots of stuff going on. We've obviously had some great golf over the weekend. Akshay Bhatia basically booking his ticket to Augusta this week by winning in a playoff yesterday. In Texas, Denny McCarthy, unfortunately, knocking one in the water in the playoff there, which kind of opened the door for him to take the title and obviously do what he needed to do to get into Augusta next week. So fair play to him. I mean, what a performance. Those two literally just ran off and left everybody, didn't they, really? I think McIlroy was eight shots behind him, I think, in third.
Yeah, but I'll be honest. I watched a bit of it last night and... I didn't see the birdie blitz coming from Denny McCarthy on the back nine yesterday. So I think Bhatia was like six shots clear and I thought, right.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
And then when I woke up this morning and checked the scores and saw that he won in a playoff, I kind of expected him to have maybe dropped a few shots on the way in, but not Denny McCarthy to birdie eight on the back nine. That's some golf.
It is, and then you know, you'd think he's got the momentum then going into the playoff, wouldn't
he?
And unfortunately, didn't get it done. But great for Bhatia to get there and obviously have his first appearance at Augusta. Well, I mean, he's played the drive, chip, and putt actually. So
yes.
So yeah, a little bit, but not played the Masters. So That'd be pretty cool. Decent performances from Rory, Matsuyama, Fleetwood, Spieth, Fitzpatrick, Scott, Ludvig Åberg, all those guys having decent kind of finishes, I suppose, and kind of, you know, a little bit of a warm up for the Masters as they treat that Valero Texas Open, really. But yeah, all going well going into there. We had another playoff on LIV last night as well, which is pretty exciting. I watched that just before I went to bed. So Dean Burmester and Sergio Garcia. And Garcia now has lost three playoffs in a row in LIV when he's been in there. So losing to Neiman, and he lost to Taylor Gooch at the end of last year. And then obviously Burmester beating him narrowly last night as well. So it was a pretty good finish. So that course at Doral, the Blue Monster, Trump Doral, just looks mega, just looks so good. And they played the 18th twice, obviously, in the playoff. And that the tee shot is like about 30 yards wide, water all the way up the left, trees down the right, and both of them just nailed it twice. It was very, very impressive. But yeah, Garcia just made a bit of a mistake coming up short in the water, similar to McCarthy, actually. Picked the wrong club, landed in the water, but then got it up and down from the fairway for a five, which is pretty damn good. But then, two putts for the win and $4 million in the bank. So thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Good days.
Yeah, very, very good. We also saw, speaking of four, Nelly Korda won a fourth event in a row, which is just unreal. So she won the T-Mobile match play on the LPGA Tour. And yeah, four in a row. She's unstoppable.
That's super impressive. She beat Leona Maguire, didn't she, in the final?
Yeah. Yeah, which is no mean feat. I mean, she's obviously played very well in Solheim Cup before, and quite a gritty sort of competitor, Leona. So yeah, it's not an easy match on your hands there at all. But so some great golf going into the Masters. But, you know, the big show, the big dance is what we're all going to be talking about on the podcast this week. I don't know what you've been up to in the last week. Obviously, you played a lot of golf. I haven't, but I've been doing lots of coaching. We've obviously got the kind of season starter series of coaching kind of tips coming out on Golf Shape pretty soon to obviously help you all sort of ease your way into the 2024 competitive season and hopefully help you play more and play better, as we always say here at Golf Shape. But I've been busy with that. But it's all kind of going to take a bit of a backseat this week because we're all going to be glued to the TV for probably 5 days in a row, because let's face it, we're all going to watch the par three as well, aren't we? But, some of the build-up will be very exciting. Getting to see the kind of grounds at Augusta, there's been some stuff on social media today where Scheffler and I think it was yesterday, Woods was playing around there, and they showed you quite a few images of him playing the golf course. Sergio and Dean Burmester were talking, actually walking down the 18th in the playoff yesterday about, I think Sergio had been across and had a bit of a look at the course and just said how great it looked. And I think they've had quite a mild sort of winter over there, so it's been perfect kind of weather to get the course in amazing condition for all the players as well. So I'm pretty sure we're going to see the course looking as stunning as it always does, maybe even better, and just a really, really tough test of golf for all those guys going. So, we've obviously got the familiar story of LIV versus the PGA Tour going into this. We've got obviously other kind of side stories with, you know, European golfers playing in there. We've got amateurs in the mix. We've got all sorts going on, really. And we also put some questions out on Instagram, on Golf Shape's Instagram today, didn't we? In certain different categories of who we thought was going to be, like, for instance, like the best Englishman, etc. So we'll go through those as we get into the podcast. But, you know, there's just so much really to talk about this year's Masters. And what are the things you're kind of looking forward to the most, Matt?
Everything. I think there's, so I've already done my bets for the week. That's the first thing that I know lots of people look forward to.
I haven't done mine.
I did mine today whilst I was working at the golf club.
Everyone out there, you know, obviously bet responsibly, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And if the fun stops, stop.
Stop. Absolutely.
Deposit another tenner if the fun stops. I actually really enjoy the build up. I like watching the live at the range. I like to see what the best players in the world are working on, what sort of drills they're doing, that sort of thing. I just, as a golf pervert, I find that sort of thing quite enjoyable. Yeah, and then just really, the par three is the one, isn't it, that we all like to sit down and watch, and the players bring their families along. But yeah, just wait until that opening ceremony on Thursday morning. Yeah, buzzing. I literally can't wait.
No, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah,
I've got quite a lot going on this weekend. I'm actually going to the opening of the new Trackman range at Belton Woods on Sunday. So hoping I'm going to get out of there fairly early and get back home to watch the final round. So, so yeah, I've got a bit going on. I'll obviously work all day Saturday as usual. So, hopefully it doesn't interrupt my viewing experience, because it's obviously one of the more exciting weekends of the year to be watching golf. But yeah, I mean, everything from, you know, the Champions Dinner menu to the prices of the food and drink that we see every year around the golf course to everyone flocking to the merchandise tents, all that kind of stuff. I would
not being able to run.
Yeah. It's got to be something that I'd absolutely love to do one day, is go to the Masters, and I'd probably spend about $2,000 in the merchandise tent, I think.
It's a funny one as well, isn't it? Because there's so much tradition, or like traditional stuff to the Masters, like, you know, putting your seats down and no one's going to take them, like not running. And even though we know about it, we see it every year, we still kind of coo over it every year when it comes about. It's you know, it just feels like it's a golf tournament done properly. Yeah. You know, that's what I like about it. And we don't, you know, it's not a golf course we get bored of seeing every year.
Oh, not at all.
Yeah.
I think, you know, they do make subtle changes as well to the course. I think this year there's a new tee on the second that they put back quite a long way. So you're probably going to see players hitting far more club into that par five green than you've seen before. Who knows? You might see some absolute bomb going around the corner there and running down the hill. But I think that was the idea. They've kind of stretch that out a little bit. But yeah, you're going to see all those familiar things. You're going to see people having a mare around Amen Corner. You're going to see some unbelievable shots that look like they're going to be nowhere near the hole, funneling in to a couple of feet. You're also going to see some that look great going into some horrible places. And you know, you're going to see mistakes. You're going to see birdies. You're going to see people kind of right on the edge of losing their cool, and some absolutely completely elated by what they're doing as well. So, you know, to me, it seems like the kind of golf course where you've got to try and keep yourself as calm as possible all the way around. Don't try and get too ahead of yourself. And, you know, there are chances to make birdies out there if you hit good shots and not kind of forcing it. You know, we've seen over the years some guys have shot some absolutely ridiculous scores around there, haven't they? So,
yeah.
And that, like that last round Rory had a couple of years ago where he just literally couldn't miss. So, you know, that is out there in the right conditions. So, but yeah, I mean, it just makes for an amazing spectacle, doesn't it? And something that we all look forward to. So
even little things like pin positions, like it's almost like, you know, like on the second, we know where that pin's going to be. It's going to be tucked on that right-hand side come Sunday.
On a Sunday, yeah, you just know where you're going to be, don't you?
Yeah. You know, and the same on 16, like even though we know where the pin's going to be, like we're excited to see it. We can't wait to see it.
And there's a few holes that you just, you know, other than the Sunday when you're watching the leaders, you just don't see like holes like four and five and six and stuff.
You don't
really see them the rest of the week. But yeah, then it obviously gets into that way, sort of the end of the back nine that you see that the eighth and the ninth and then, you know, from 10, 11, 12, 13, obviously around Amen Corner and on that final stretch, you see loads of it. But yeah, the sort of middle of the front nine, you don't really get to see a lot, to be honest, when you're doing the tournament. But yeah, I mean, every single hole there is named, you know, aptly for the kind of surrounding area and the vista and the foliage and all the different plants and trees and stuff that they've got there. So it's just so special, isn't it? It's really, really cool.
Yeah.
You know, it's the tournament that everyone's buzzing about getting, particularly when we come through a really crappy winter like we've had in the UK. It's given almost, you know, a light at the end of the tunnel for people to look forward to and hopefully bring about the end of this terrible weather and the golf season kind of on our horizon as well. So, yeah, it's just something that, you know, every year is magic, but particularly this year just feels a little bit more special just because of how terrible, you know, it's been in the UK over the past few months. But right, let's get into players then. Yeah. So, like I said to you, there's obviously that kind of LIV PGA Tour divide still existing there, and there's 13 guys from LIV teeing it up this week in the Masters. You know, one of the questions that we put out on Golf Shake Instagram was about the top player or top three players that you thought outside the top 25 of the world rankings. Well, most of these guys, because of how stupid the world rankings are now, aren't in the top 25. So you could pick quite a few of them, really. But have you got all the questions in front of you then, all the different categories?
Yeah, let me pull it up. So yeah, it's,
we'll have a bit of a chat about them.
Yeah, so it's an article that probably will go live tomorrow and it'll get shared. I'll share it on my social media.
That question that's first on there, should we leave that to last, yeah?
Yeah, can do. So the next one down was top Englishmen.
Okay. Interestingly, aren't many in the field, mate, are they?
I was just about to say to you, interestingly, do you know how many, without looking, do you know how many English players are in the field this week?
Off the top of my head, I think there's two.
Five.
Is there? Right, okay.
That includes Danny Willett, and that's his first event in a long time.
I hadn't actually thought about Danny Willett.
Tyrrell Hatton, Justin Rose, Tommy Fleetwood, Matt Fitzpatrick, Danny Willett.
Fair play. Okay. Yeah, for some reason I hadn't even thought about Fleetwood actually. I hadn't thought about Fitzpatrick either, which is ridiculous. But I was really torn between two here. One just purely because of how good he always has been playing at Augusta, and the other one just because I know how good he can be. So who have you gone for then, Matt? Go on.
So I would normally have gone and leaned towards Tyrrell Hatton.
Okay.
Because I think he's got a game that really just stacks up. I don't think he's got a real weakness. I think his all round game is pretty solid. I don't think he excels in anything in particular compared to the rest, but doesn't seem to be too much of a weakness. But I don't know what his form's like. I don't know how he's been playing,
He's been playing quite nicely, but hasn't threatened winning really. But he's there or thereabouts and shooting some decent scores.
But because of that, I've leant towards Justin Rose. I think the experience
Rose as well.
The experience he's got around there, obviously lost out in the playoff to Sergio a few years back. I know he's not, right at the top of his game, but I think there's a lot to be said for course experience, tournament experience when it comes to Augusta. He's going to know where to miss, where to put the ball. So that would be my topping.
Yeah, I went with him as well. I mean, you would naturally probably go Fitzpatrick because he's probably the higher one in the world rankings, is he? I don't know, but... Yeah. Fleetwood must be up there as well, but there's something about the two of them that I'm just not sure about at the minute. I think on their day, they're both more than capable of winning.
Yeah.
Rose for me is just unbelievably good. I've gone with him as well.
Yeah. The next question was the best former champion.
Yep. You want me to go first?
Yeah, you go first this time.
I just couldn't see past Scheffler. So, I mean, he's literally just blowing everyone away at the minute, isn't he? I mean, he obviously didn't play the Texas Open because he was letting everyone else have a chance. I can't see past him really. Certainly, he's going to, I think he could put money on him finishing top three. I mean,
yeah.
I don't think.
Well, I'm not sure.
Whether a win,
I'm not sure. I kind of don't want to give too much away, but I didn't pick Scottie Scheffler in this category. But I do think I didn't pick him by default just to try and mix it up a little bit. So I've in this category, I actually went for Hideki Matsuyama.
Okay.
He's been playing pretty solid of late. Was in the mix for a bit at Valero.
Yeah, no, he's had a couple of good weeks, hasn't he? Yeah,
got himself a top 10 there. And, you know, as did Tommy Fleetwood and Matt Fitzpatrick, going back to the previous category. But
yeah,
I just think not just the fact that he's won there before, but also he's had a lot of strong finishes at Augusta. So yeah, Hideki was the one for me in that category.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the next one is the best player over 50.
50, yeah.
I only had one, so.
Yeah, there was a standout for me in this category as well, to be honest. And that was Phil Mickelson.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I mean, he's obviously won numerous times around there. He's not bringing much form in, if I'm honest.
But no.
Wasn't a couple of years ago, and look what he did. You know what I mean? He played amazing. So, he's just so damn good, and that I think the course suits him quite nicely, because it's one where, whilst he can't be wild off the tee, you've got to get somewhere there or thereabouts, and he certainly is capable of doing that, and he is capable of miraculous shots off pine straw and all sorts of stuff, which he can be kind of faced with around there a little bit.
And the left-handed element as well, right?
That's an advantage. I mean, you know, Batia might do well then, might you? I mean, who knows? But I mean, Phil is literally one of the best players of all time. So you can't really not say that he's going to do well. But yeah, it'd be good to see how he gets on. I mean, I'd love him to make a charge and do well. And it seems like it's a course that if you've got experience of then you know, that stands you in good. That's almost worth a couple of shots around you as well, isn't it? Which is great. So yeah. Thanks, Phil.
Yeah, that was easy. So the next question was, where will Rory finish?
Okay. Obviously, I don't know. But my gut feeling is he's going to play well. But I think he comes up short again. I think he's in the top five, but I don't think he wins.
So in the article, I actually specified that it'll be a backdoor top 10, like it normally is. I think he'll get off to a bang average start. He'll keep himself in contention. He'll probably have one bad round out of four, and then wouldn't expect him, similar to last year, just go and shoot the lights out on Sunday and, you know, backdoor a top 10, maybe even a top five. And we'll all be sitting there on Sunday night thinking, oh, what if?
I want to be wrong. That's it. I would love him to literally blitz everyone and win by 10. I'd absolutely, and he's capable of doing that 100%. Yeah. That course could not suit him anymore. It's literally just bomb it and wedge it on and putt nicely. And if he can putt nicely, who knows? But he has got all of the game to literally destroy everybody. But whether he will, I don't know.
Yeah,
I think mentally he's probably better than he's been for a long time. So I don't know. He's got all of that garbage out of his brain that he had. You know, everyone's watched Full Swing, haven't they? And knows that, you know, over the last 12, 18 months, he's literally just had all sorts of rubbish going on in off the golf course, as well as, you know, on it and at every tournament that he goes to being asked questions about Liv. But I think he's in a good place now. He could very well win. I just think he's going to play top five, and whilst that's never disappointing to do for someone as good as him, he would be very disappointed with that. But
yeah,
I would love
encouragingly him. Encouragingly, he averaged 1.88 strokes gained approach per round this week at the Valero, and that was his best approach play week on the PGA Tour in nearly 9 years.
Wow.
In nearly 5 years. Sorry, 2000.
I know he's been to see Butch Harmon lately, Butch, as well, hasn't he?
Yeah.
So, who knows? That might give him the extra little nudge over the line that he needs. And like I say, I hope he does. I hope he's in that position he was in 2010 when, you know, he obviously folded a little bit on the back nine on the Sunday. But, you know, he very much could get into that position. Spieth's another one. Do you know what I mean? That year that he won there literally was unstoppable, and the year after probably should have won it and then had a bit of a mare, didn't he? I think Rory will win the Masters one day. But whether it's this year, I don't know. I hope it is.
I think, as you say, I think he's probably best equipped this year than the last two or three years. So, you know, and he seems to be playing okay. It's a weird one because not too much Rory Trapp leading up to it this year. So it might just be flying under the radar. Who knows? I'd love to see him win.
Who knows?
Yeah. If I could pick anyone, I'd pick him. So
for the next category is an interesting one, right?
Yeah, obviously.
From what I've said about how ridiculous the world rankings are, really.
They are pointless.
So we said we're going to pick three players outside of the top 25 in the world, right? So yeah. most of the live guys are outside the top 25 now. So you've got the likes of Cam Smith at 68 in the world. You've got, you know, players like Brooks, people like that, which is just stupid. But but then you've got players like Adam Scott. You've got players like Justin Rose. You've got players like Eric Van Rooyen. You've got players like, who I've got in my three, Will Zalatoris.
I've got Will Zalatoris in my three. He's Tony also Finau, someone that I've...
another one that I put in.
We must have been thinking along the same lines because my three in this category were Tony Finau, Will Zalatoris, and Minwoo Lee.
Okay.
Will Zalatoris is back to... You didn't, though?
No.
Zalatoris has been showing some good form now. He's injury-free. Tony Finau obviously likes the golf course, and Minwoo Lee ripped it up a few years back, didn't he, on the back nine? And he's an absolute flusher, that guy.
Oh, he is. Awesome player, yeah. And you could definitely see him winning, definitely. So I went for Zalatoris, Finau and Cam Smith, but Cam Smith pulled out this week because he was ill, so I don't know whether he's just doing it with the Masters around the corner or what, but who knows? But it's kind of contradictory because the person I've actually gone that I think is going to win it would fall in this category as well. But I haven't put him in this three because I've obviously just left it till the end. But like I say, Eric Van Rooyen's had a great start. Adam Scott, I think, is a player that could well win the Masters again. Do you know what I mean? He's just such a good player. And I think if he puts well, he's as good a ball striker as anybody. And TT Green, he's amazing. So, yeah, who knows?
Next one is winning score.
Oh, I didn't see that one. But let me do that.
Okay. So I did actually just look at the weather forecast, and it looks like there could be a fair bit of rain and maybe even some storms on Thursday. But after that, the weather looks... you know, set fair, nearly 30 degrees Sunday.
What was the winning score last year with Rahm? 11?
Let's have a
12.
Look. I'm looking. 12 under.
Great prep, guys.
12 under, and he won by 4.
12.
Yeah.
I thought it was something.
I actually went with 12, but not because that's what the winning score was last year. I just think... I try and average it out, and I think, you know, if someone goes out and shoots 4 under for 4 days, I think they'll be in the mix.
Yeah.
Given that the weather looks a bit iffy on Thursday, and, you know, they'll speed it up and the greens. You know, it's easy to make bogeys around there, but
it is.
I think 12, 13 will get it done.
I don't think you'd be far. I'd put 13, but I don't think you'll be far away. I mean, you could see 9 doing pretty well, couldn't you? I don't know. We'll see.
But the good thing about it is they obviously, you know, they can't control the rain, but they're with the sub air and stuff, they've got so much control over how tough or easy the golf course plays, dependent on the wind or temperature, that sort of thing. It's, they could almost manufacture whatever score they want.
Pretty much, in terms of
tricking us. So, yeah, I know they didn't like it a few years ago when Dustin Johnson broke the record, did they? So,
no.
12 gets it done.
Fair play. So the next one was the leading amateur.
Yes.
I've got absolutely no idea about most of these guys, right? I went for the one with the coolest name, which was Santiago de la Fuente, which I thought... I
love that. Excellent pronunciation as well, by the way.
But yeah, he... I know I would imagine he's won the Pan American Amateur, but I don't know anything about the guys that are playing as amateurs. I'm not even going to pretend that I do. But Santiago de la Fuente just sounded lovely.
So I went with Stuart Hagstad.
Okay.
Because he's played in it before as an amateur. And I think he was leading amateur. So he's actually played in it twice before as an amateur. So he's had six rounds at Augusta. So he's played twice, made the cut once, missed the cut once. And I think those six experience rounds of golf will just be a very good weapon in his arsenal.
Fair play. Yeah, I mean, you've obviously gone with the actual kind of, you know, hard facts in the background. I just went, I'd have the, and this is interesting because we've got the Grand National this week. And you very much go, well, I know nothing about horse racing, but you always pick the one with the coolest name, don't you? So,
yeah,
which I've already done. And fortunately for me, he's one of the favourites. I Am Maximus was the one I'm going for in the Grand National. So he's second favourite at the minute. So we'll see how he gets on there. But yeah, very, very action-packed week of sport. I don't know whether they do like a sweepstake at your golf club for the Masters and for like the Grand National and stuff like that. But yeah, we always do one in the shop and invariably fills up very, very quickly. It's normally the same Saturday that the Masters is on that the Grand National is on as well. So we invariably have a sweepstake for that and normally fill the sheet twice. So yeah, it'll be an interesting Saturday when we have the Grand National on as well. So now the amateurs are out of the way. The next one, big question on everyone's lips because no one's going to know the answer to it, is how do we think Tiger is going to do?
So Tiger will make some birdies, he'll make some bogeys, but unfortunately that golf course, as we know, is very undulating and it's quite physically demanding. And I think that golf course will take its toll on Tiger Woods over 2 days. And unfortunately, he won't make the cut.
Okay. I think he will make the cut.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's a caveat to this, right? I think it's down to if he can walk around and if he's actually like physically capable of doing it, I think he'll finish in the top 20.
Okay.
And as well as, you know, if he can get in that position, who knows what's going to happen? Do you know what I mean? It's one of those. People see his name and literally drop their trousers. He literally does. He still has that effect on people.
Yeah.
I do not think he will win, but I think he could do all right. I think, for me, I don't think he would play if he didn't think he could. And I think the fact that he's there already and playing rounds around the golf course and walking around it tells me he's fit enough.
Does that not concern you a little bit, though, that he's maybe doing a bit too much?
Potentially. I don't know. I mean, he knows how fit he is, doesn't he? But, I mean, some of the stuff I saw that Nota Begay said, basically, that he can't move one of his ankles. So,
yeah.
If you can't do that, you can't play golf. But
you clearly can play golf.
Yeah, exactly. So, which tells me maybe he's moving better than Nota Begay says he is. I don't know. Yeah. I've not actually seen him hit a shot. I've seen stills of him hitting shots yesterday, but I didn't actually see him hit the balls. I saw him walking, and he looked all right. He didn't look like an old man like he did last time that we saw him hobbling off. So, who knows? I don't know. You know, he looked more mobile than the last time we saw him, which for me is the number one thing. If he can walk around, he can play golf. We know he can play golf. He's the best player ever in my head. He can play the game. It's whether he can walk around. So we'll see. I think if he can walk around the golf course twice, he makes the cut easily as well, I think.
Okay.
But we'll see. Mm. We'll see.
Interesting.
There's still that young kid in me that thinks Tiger's going to win every week. So, Right, next question was about Liv, wasn't it?
It certainly was, top Liv golfer.
Well, this is going to kind of spoil who I think is going to win, so I'm going to pick somebody else. I'm going to go Joaquin Niemann.
Okay.
Even though I don't think he's going to win.
Hmm.
So it contradicts who I think is going to win. Because
yeah,
lived-
no, that's yeah, that's fair enough. I'd gone a toss-up between Cameron Smith and John Rahm.
Okay.
But I would always edge towards Cam Smith.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I know obviously John Rahm's defending champ. Won it 2 years ago, but Cam Smith's got a solid record ground there.
He won it last year.
And I think he will win the Masters at some point.
Cam Smith?
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Well, could Rahm go back-to-back? Who knows? I don't know.
No, I'm not convinced on that one. So that's why I'm going to go Cam Smith.
Yeah, that's why I've not gone for him. It's not Rahm that I've gone for who's going to win either. But yeah, I think Niemann, I think he's got a hell of a performance in him, and he's been playing great all the time on Liv. So and he's obviously won. He won a DP World Tour event at Christmas in Australia as well, didn't he? So he's coming in with decent form.
What's his Masters record like?
I think he's only played one. I remember he was paired with Tiger, I think, for the first 2 years.
No, he's just... so he's getting better, right? So 2021... He missed a cut in 2018.
Yeah.
2021, tied 40th. 22, tied 35th. 23, tied 16th.
Right, okay. Trending in the right direction, isn't he?
Yeah, but do you know, his major championship record overall doesn't look, you know, there's like no top tens in there, for example.
Hmm.
Yeah. Well, you never know.
You never know. So the next category we've got is rookie. So the first time player.
So rookie, I'll be honest again, I felt like there was a standout here for me. And that's our good friend Ludwig Åberg.
Okay.
I was super impressed with him at the Ryder Cup, going in there the way he did off the back of a captain's pick, after not being professional for that long. He weren't the top point scorer, etc., but he didn't wilt under pressure. And I think he's been super impressive since. Out of all the rookies, I feel like he's probably got the best game. I always, you know, obviously rookies don't have experience, so it's an even playing field as well. So, yeah, that's what I'm going with.
Fair play. I mean, he's a good pick. For me, I just don't think he puts well enough. I think Tee to Green is amazing. But I think, like you're saying, Rory's going to have a bad round. I think he has an iffy one as well, and that probably puts him out of it. But I went for Mathieu Pavon. Because I just think he's playing great, and he's just done so well this year. And again, just seems to be getting better all the time. He was the pick I went with. I just like the way he plays. He seems to shoot some low ones when he needs to as well. And I just like him as a player. I think he's very, very good. I don't think he's a better golfer than Ludwig Åberg, to be honest. But I just think over the course of four rounds and sort of a major championship like that, I think at the minute, I think he's probably got the edge, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, there's some good golfers in this category this year. You know, obviously you've got Wyndham Clark in there. You've got Eric Cole, Nick Dunlap, Nicolai Højgaard, Rio Hitsatsuni.
Has Dunlap played there as an amateur? He must have played as an amateur.
He won the... he must have done, because he won the US Junior Amateur and he won the US Amateur. Oh, no, he won the US Amateur last year.
Yeah.
And as we mentioned earlier, Akshay Bhatia.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, he's a bit of a dark horse. I mean, you just don't know with him. And again, with him being a lefty, you just don't know. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Right. So then that brings us round to who we actually think is going to win the Masters then, yeah? So
yeah.
There's obviously some names in there. I haven't gone with Rahm. There's obviously, I've already alluded to the fact that it's a Liv guy, so I haven't picked Reed, I haven't picked DeChambeau, Maronk, Neiman, Schwartzel, Bubba, I haven't picked any of them, Phil, Sergio, DJ, Cam Smith, Hatton, or Rahm. So that leaves just one, and that's Brooks. I think he wins. He's just had so many good performances there. He was close last year, didn't quite get it done.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that was still in the throes of him mentally not quite being right. But then he comes out, wins the PGA, realises he's pretty damn good at golf again. And I think this is the Masters he wins.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, look, let's not forget Brooks Koepka finished four shots behind John Rahm last year, as did Phil Mickelson. But Phil Mickelson shot 7-under in the final round,
yep.
Whereas Brooks Koepka shot 3-over.
Yeah.
So all he needed to do really was shoot 2-under, and he would have won the Masters last year.
He would.
So yeah, it's not a bad shout. He's definitely someone that I probably haven't thought too much about this week. I generally can't see. It's very, very hard to look past Scottie Scheffler for me.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. I just picked Brooks because I don't want Scheffler to win.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, yeah. If, as I said earlier, if I could have my absolute pick, then I'm picking Rory. I'd love to see Rory.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, it's not because I don't like Scheffler at all, because I think he's amazing. But just for me, yeah, there's just some of those guys, you know, like your Rory, you know, who's obviously just a massive favourite of mine and always has been. And then you've got players like Rahm. I absolutely love Rahm. You know, those sorts of guys as well that just really want to do well. But yeah, for me, it was Brooks. Yeah,
I like it.
See how he gets on.
I like it. So I'm just going to chuck this one in because this obviously wasn't on the Golf Shake article because we practice responsible gambling. But I also wanted to share the four players that I've actually backed this week, because I don't back the favourites because I don't think the odds are good enough. But I've got, so these are all £2.50 each way bets.
Oh, okay.
I've gone Minwoo Lee.
Very good, yeah.
I've gone Ludvig Åberg.
Yep.
I've got Will Zalatoris.
Yep.
And Hideki Matsuyama.
They're all very, very good ones. See, one guy we've not even spoken about is Hovland. He's literally like disappeared.
It's a funny one now. Like, you know, we sit here, we haven't spoken about Hovland. We haven't spoken about Dustin Johnson. We've barely mentioned Jordan Spieth.
Yeah.
We've said nothing about Justin Thomas. Obviously, he's not been in the best of form of late.
Yeah, he ain't going to win it, mate.
it's the sort of tournament where you wouldn't bet against somebody just kind of popping out from nowhere. And
I mean, his short game's magic, but
we don't talk about Xander Schauffele. We don't talk about, there's a fair few when you think about it.
Yeah.
You fixed it.
Yeah, there are. I mean, for me, I mean, Schauffele is obviously a very good player, but I just think if it came to it, I don't think he's quite got it to get over the line.
He's got the most 16 top 10s on the PGA Tour without a win. But I'm just looking, like, you look down the betting, we haven't spoken about Matt we did mention, we haven't spoken about Bryson DeChambeau.
No. See, I think he could do it, and DJ as well. I think those two guys are actually playing some decent stuff. And like I say, you won't have seen any of what they're doing, but DJ, not so much in Miami, but the tournament before, he played lovely, really did. And DeChambeau's kind of a bit up and down. He always chucks a bit of a average round in, but again, has had some really good ones too. So and he's always said about Augusta. Did he say it was a par 67 or 68?
Yeah. Other players that we don't talk about, Jason Day, he's got a brilliant record at Augusta.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't talk about him. Sam Burns, Max Homer, Colin Morikawa. Yeah, just looking down that list.
Morikawa's gone off the boil a little bit, hasn't he? Burns, yeah. I think he's got a great chance. He puts so well, doesn't he? So
yeah. Sungjae Im, is he in the field? He's another one that I think
he's very good.
Always does pretty well around there. But who knows? We will find out on Sunday night, won't we?
I can't wait. Yeah, it's packed. As much as it is obviously a smaller field than the others, and there's probably less players that you think could probably win it. We've obviously spoken about tons of them here, but we're really probably looking at a core of about 15 or 20 of those guys, aren't we?
Yeah, that are probably. But this is the thing with the Masters, with it being an invite only event in theory.
Yeah.
You know, you haven't got 150 players like we get at the Open. You know, you've got, you know, probably the best part of the top 50 in the world, and then you've got your Freddie Couples and your Larry Myers and your Sandy Lyles and, you know, all the past champions that are in the field. So you're always going to get...
Well, again, there's so many less of those, aren't there? So, you know, if you actually look in the field, there's a lot of them that, you know, we had Myers and Sandy Lyle last year that kind of bowed out, didn't we? And looking at the field here, we've got obviously Couples is in there.
It's only the four at the bottom that I'm looking at. Couples, Vijay Singh, Mike Weir, and Jose Maria Olazabal.
Yeah. The rest of them are still competitive, aren't they? Do you know what I mean? But yeah, who knows?
I mean, 750 to 1 for Freddie Couples top 12.
I mean, another guy who we have not spoken about, Shane Lowry. I mean, I think he's definitely playing well enough to do well. You know, I'm just looking down the list here, and there's just so many guys that have got form. Brian Harman would be another one that I'm sure people had, you know.
Put, do you know, I looked at him, on. But my only concern with Brian Harman is he's not the longest, is he? And I know it worked at the Open.
But he's not the longest in every event, and he still does all right, doesn't he? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I just think having the length, it's not so much length off the tee. It's being closer with your approach shots. You know what Augusta, what the greens are like. You need to be able to land it on. Who is it that talked about sections of the greens?
Yeah.
You know, and hitting it in the right place. And I think if you've got a wedge in your hand compared to an iron, you've got more chance of doing that. Which
I
might be wrong, but. Maybe just has Brian Harman as a little bit further of an outsider.
To be honest, for me, Sergio would be another one I'd be thinking about because he's played great this year so far. He's obviously missed out in two playoffs this year already. But he's putting some great stuff together and looks like, I mean, he's messed about with putters and stuff like that, but he actually looked fairly solid yesterday, putting wise. He did miss one from 6 foot to actually win the tournament yesterday at the 18th, but other than that, he looked pretty good, and he knocked a couple of long ones in. So yeah, if he puts well, I think he's another player who tee to green he drives it unbelievably straight, and he's a great iron player. So yeah, and he's got that Spanish short game that we all envy. So yeah, we'll see. But whatever, it's going to be an amazing tournament, isn't it?
It certainly will. It certainly will. I'd like to draw your attention to lots of obviously Masters related content that's being posted on Goalshake this week. Lots and lots of different articles, 9 memorable disasters, the best holes to watch, list of the rookies that can win, just some preview articles, you know, highlighting the rookies, 10 picks to win the Masters, loads and loads of stuff, and there'll be more going on throughout the course of the week as
Very
well.
Good.
But are we wrapping this up?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, well... You passed me the baton this week. You've asked me to wrap up the podcast. I feel kind of important, very nervous. But if we post on social media, make sure you get involved because we really want a lot of the listeners and a lot of the followers on social media to get involved. We did have a few messages this week from one or two people, but not enough. There's lots of people that are listening and lots of people that are looking at stories. So make sure you get in contact with us and we will shout about it. But for now, enjoy the Masters. Enjoy the week. Bet responsibly. Don't overindulge if you've got any Easter eggs left. And we will catch you next week with a wrap-up podcast.
Bye.
Thanks everyone for listening. Goodbye.